サーデュー、サーデュー、サーデュー、サーデュー、サーデュー、サーデュー、サーデュー。Okay, you all can be seated. Then we shall offer the rest of the offer item.You just rejoice. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay. Then we can commence the puja chanting. Let us compose our mind, develop the faith so that we can.Develop the understanding of what we are doing. So what we are doing here is after the puja offering, we shall commence some form of chanting to remind us of the teaching, to remind us of the significance of all this offering, and at the same time, we cultivate goodness, wholesomeness, because offering is a type of generosity. When people make offering,means they have generosity, they have good mind, so they want to make offering to the Triple Gem. Then after that, all this food, they got special Dhamma significance, means special meaning to the cultivation, to the practice. After when we go through, you will understand. Then when we rejoice, we are saying sadhu means we rejoice with people's goodness, kindness, like their generosity. Their good mind state and their understanding. Then also we can rejoice in whatever goodness that we are able to feel or see or observe. So these are all part and parcel of training our mind to have good mind state. Instead of getting unhappy, miserable, we have good mind that will make us peaceful, happy.And when we rejoice the mind, enable the heart to open up, then there is joy inside. Then with the understanding later on, this mind becomes very different. It has a lot of positive vibes and energy that will allow you to radiate this kindness, goodness to people. So rejoicing is one of the very good mind state. If you can keep on rejoicing, you will not have envy and jealousy.You only have love, kindness, goodness, compassion, and the good mind state. Okay, now let us compose the mind to develop the spiritual faculty of Sada. Sada means faith or confidence in the Buddha and his teaching, followed by the Virya. Virya is a spiritual zeal, a tenacity to develop the understanding of this teaching, because we see the importance of this teaching. It can help change our life, transform our life, improve our life, and make us different. Then through all this process, we would have cultivated a lot of goodness, wholesomeness. We would have avoided a lot of negativity. Through this cultivation, your mind become more conducive to develop the meditation, the understanding.Then from there, wisdom will develop. As you develop the wisdom, your merits or spiritual virtue, they become more and more powerful, more and more developed. Then these are like spiritual money. It's like spiritual wealth that you gain through all this training of the mind, practice and cultivation.Then this spiritual wealth, like in our civilization, is like money that you earn righteously. You can use it for the good of the many, for the happiness of yourself, your loved one, and all. You can also use it to invoke power and merits for you to recover from whatever situation, to improve your life, or to avoid all the foolish, meet out with the wise, so that you can become enlightened.So that you can understand beautiful teachings that can bring about a lot of understanding and joy. So now with the Sada Virya, then mindfulness is the third one. have to do it mindfully. Mindfully means your mind is one with everything. When you bow body and mind as one. You chant, the chanting and your mind as one. Means your mind is not lost in thought. You are just at the moment, with the moment, doing the things that you are doing. Means you are mindful, attentive. As you train in this way, your mind will have less and less thinking, less and less negativity and restlessness and the negative mind state. Okay, now I will commence the chanting. So for those who are new, you are not familiar, you can just listen first. We will chant the Mandarin version based on the Mahayana tradition. Namo Bản Sư Sư Jia Mo Ni Phổ. Namo Bản Sư Sư Jia Mo Ni Phổ. Namo Bản Sư Sư Jia Mo Ni Phổ. Namo Quan Sư Yên Phụ Sa. Namo Quan Sư Yên Phụ Sa. Namo Quan Sư Yên Phụ Sa. Namo A Mi Tho Phổ. Namo A Mi Tho Phổ. Namo A Mi Tho Phổ. Namo Mi Lo Phổ. Namo Mi Lo Phổ. Namo Mi Lo Phổ. Namo Phụ Thiền Phụ Sa. Namo Phụ Thiền Phụ Sa. Namo Phụ Thiền Phụ Sa. Namo Phổ Phụ Sa. Namo Phổ Phụ Sa. Namo Phổ Phụ Sa. Okay, then you can turn to the first page of the chanting book. We will chant the Pali chanting.
Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami.
Okay, you can visit that. Then we turn to page one of the chanting book. We will chant the Vandana. Vandana means salutation to the Buddha.
Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami.
Then we will chant the five precepts. Precepts are like the Christian call commandments. So here we have five. The English translation is on the right. We will chant the Pali.
Panati pata viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Adina dana viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Kamesu mechachara viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Busavada Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Suramiraya Majjhapamadatthana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami.
Wait, excuse me, your choice just came. I asked my wife to open the gate. Yeah, the number 10 sign. Huh? Get the here. Okay. Then we can continue. Huh? Yeah, she just arrived. Oh, you have to reverse. Sorry. Don't mind. You just follow my wife out. Oh, okay. Don't worry. Huh? Then after that, you park back the same place. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Okay, we will continue. So now we are at page 3. We will chant the Padipa Puja, means offering of light. We will chant the Pali.
Ganna Sangara Paditena Dipena Tamadangsina Tiloka Dipang Sambuddhang Pujayami tamo nudang ganda sambara yutena dopena hang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bacana mutamang vanna ganda guno petang etang kusuma santatin pujayami munindasa siri pada sarorohe pujemi buddhang kusumena nena punena matena ca hotu mokang pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tata yati vinasa bhavang adivase tuno bhante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tuno bhante Pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tuno bante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang.
Then turn to page 5. We will now chant the special puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Understanding the significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of clear water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers.
May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana, then making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Then lastly is sharing and transfer of merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect, Triple Gem. Badang Pujemi. Dhammang Pujemi. Sanghang Pujemi. Okay, you can be seated. Just relax body and mind. Then we will commence our meditation. We will have half an hour meditation. Oh, you know Joyce? Oh. How did you know her? Oh, sadhu. Yeah, sadhu, yeah. The one in front is the hubby, Dr. Lee. Oh man, okay. So we also like to take this opportunity. Dr. Lee, you can sit next to your wife, don't worry. Easy for you to communicate with her and help her. So first of all, I'd like to introduce two new people who are with us today. They came earlier on, 2 or 3 weeks back, I think. They came with Pang, Brother Pang and the wife Angie. Then I think the sister, your sister was there also. Then the other one must be your sister's hubby. Yeah. So when they came, we had a very interesting discussion, chat. Then after that, they say they want to join our class. So we would like to welcome both. They are a couple. They are doctors. Both are doctors from Chongling. But I don't think here anybody from Chongling. But I got a lot of classmates from Chongling in the uni. They are a lot older than me. I think, if I'm not wrong, Dr. Lee is 70. You are about 70. Your wife is 68. So I'm only 63. So there is a gap. Oh, you are 62. So there is a gap of about 6 or 7 years. 7 years. So anyway, we'd like to welcome them. And we really rejoice with their presence. Then whatever you don't understand, don't worry. Just wait for the condition to ask me later on. You can anytime put out your hand if you are not sure of anything, so that I can clarify. Because it's not easy for new people to understand what we do here. But if you listen attentively with an open mind, you can understand very fast. Most important is have faith, then silence your mind. We will have a meditation, which is about half an hour. I will give you the instruction. Then, based on the books I have given you, the blue color one, when you're free, you go back, read through. The instructions are quite similar, so you don't have to try to remember anything. No need. Just listen attentively. Then silence your mind to develop the inner peace, inner calmness, and inner well-being. Then your mind state will become different. You will feel a lot of very strong, positive energy that make you feel good and happy. Then when you can experience the peace, for the first time in your life, you will have a lot of joy. So all this will help to improve your health, your immune system, your positive mind state, instead of the usual fear, worry, anxiety, sadness, sorrow and lamentation, or the various type of fearful emotion that keep on haunting human beings' mind when they don't have the understanding. Because these are their worries, their problems. So the negative mind state keep on coming because it has become habitual. Then sometimes this habitual thinking, they become intrusive, obsessive, and starts to create a lot of cocoon or thinking along that pattern. Then it's like a tape recorder repeating itself every now and then. That's why it's very difficult to come out of those states. So meditation is a very good way to maintain the peacefulness, the inner peace, the inner joy, the inner well-being, to reverse all this negative mind state. And when you can do it very well, whenever you can feel your mind is not peaceful, having all this habitual thinking from the past, then you can do something to it. You can just relax, silence your mind, and just meditate and make yourself peaceful again. Then after that, you can study the teaching with a calm mind, with a peaceful mind, with the clarity of mind. You can understand the teaching very easily. Where these are very, very direct teaching, they accord with nature's law. They are just nature's truth, very easy to understand, quite similar to science, except it's in the spiritual field. Okay, now I will give you the instruction. For those who already know how to meditate, you straight away proceed. For those who are new, like Dr. Wei and Dr. Li, I will give you some basic instruction to train your mind so that it can become peaceful. We call this the mind sweeping method. First, you try to relax body and mind. You can sit on the armchair, don't worry. You don't have to sit on the floor unless your leg can allow you to do it. Otherwise, no need. Whatever posture that can make you feel peaceful and relaxed, and your posture stable, you can use it. You can sit on a chair, an armchair, or a couch, or even lie down on the floor. It's okay. Then you maintain some form of calmness, peacefulness. You silence everything. Then the first thing you must do is relax body and mind. Completely relax. Whatever stress that you can feel, you just relax it. So for the body, it's very easy to relax because you can feel yourself not at ease, not relaxed because of your daily activity. And sometimes because of your mental states. If you are not a person who can make yourself happy, peaceful, mindful, and aware, most of the time your mind state will carry those heedless thinking or negative thought. The habitual thinking, which are your fear, worry, anxiety. So these are very negative energy fields that will envelop your physical, because your consciousness is trapped inside. So when that happens, your body tend to be tense, not relaxed. So now, for the first time, you silence everything, body and mind completely silent, and just relax, relax, and relax. Feel yourself soothingly relax. Then your mind also let it relax. Whatever thought arise, just let it arise. Don't suppress, don't control, and don't try to do anything. Just let it be. The most important thing is don't go and get involved with the thought process. Don't get yourself lost in the thought process. You just tell yourself, I am here to meditate, to relax body and mind, to experience the inner peace, leading to the inner calmness and inner mindfulness. Then the well-being. I will teach you also loving kindness, or well-being meditation. They call it loving kindness meditation. We combine the two. Okay, now relax body and mind. For those who are sitting, you try to maintain a straight backbone. But you are sitting on a chair or armchair, no need. Just relax. And your posture can follow whatever the armchair's curvature is. Then maintain some form of attention, be attentive. Silence everything and just attentively relax body and mind. Then close your eyes. Then bring your attention up to your forehead. Just feel your forehead. Don't think, just feel it. And check if there is any tension, any tightness, or any stress within. You just relax and relax. Silently relax into it. Feel your entire forehead soothingly relax. Every part of it, every strand of the forehead muscle, feel it soothingly relax. Then you sweep your mind down, your attention down to your eye muscle, do the same. Feel, then relax each and every of your eye muscle, especially your ciliary muscle. Normally after a tired day, your eye is quite tired too. So you just feel, then relax, relax and relax every part of your eye muscle. Then you sweep down your facial muscle. Feel your entire facial muscle. Then slowly sweep it down. Relax, relax and relax. Feel it soothingly relax. Then in order to help you relax further, you can visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can smile, you will have joy. When there is joy, there is happiness. Your facial muscle will relax naturally by itself. That's why love, happiness and joy are very important. Then smile more. Have more and more of this radiant smile. When you smile, means you are happy, you are peaceful. Then after that, I will teach you how to radiate love to yourself. Because you have to reverse all the negative mind state so that you can have this inner well-being, positive mind state. You can recite following what I recite. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. And when you recite, may I, this body and mind of mine, you must feel your entire body, your entire mind, having this well-being and happiness. Each and every cell within your physical body is having this inner well-being, and inner calmness and inner peacefulness. You can repeat it a few times. May I, this body and mind of mine, feel the entire body and mind, be well and happy. Feel the well-being deep within your physical body, each and every cell, and the happiness and the joy within. Then, after the third time, you can continue further. You say, may I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy. Be well and happy. May it too be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble, means without all the negative mind state. May it be calm and peaceful always. Then may there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within our hearts. May our body and mind too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May we keep ourselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within our hearts. Then we can extend this loving kindness to our loved ones. May our loved ones too be well and happy, well and happy. May they all too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, free from all negative tendency and mind states. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts too. Then we can extend this love or metta to all beings within this vicinity. May all beings within this vicinity of ours, known and unknown, seen and unseen, including our fellow Dhamma friends, meditators, cultivators, may they all too be well and happy, well and happy. May their body and mind too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, free from all negative tendency and thinking and emotion. May they be well and happy always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts too. Then we can extend this love or metta to all beings within the whole of SS2, Petaling Jaya, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, then our planet Earth, then extending to all beings within our solar system, our galaxy, our Milky Way, and finally to all beings throughout the entire existence, the entire universe. May they all to be well and happy, well and happy, well and happy. May they all to be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then you can come back to your facial muscle, just feel, don't think, feel and relax each and every strand of your facial muscle, feel it soothingly relax. Then you move your attention down to your neck, feel, relax. Don't think, just feel, relax. Then feel your shoulder, relax. Then bring your attention down to your hands, feel, relax. Back to shoulder, feel, relax. Then you move your attention down to your heart area or your chest area. This is a very important location within your body. This is where your life force arise and pass away. This is where the seat of consciousness is, how you become conscious. From there it arise. Then this is also where your heartbeat is. Your life force pump your heartbeat. Your life force come from the supportive karma that you inherit. If this supportive karma, the energy doesn't come, because the life force energy doesn't come, then your heart will stop. It will not beat. So we have to silence our mind and just feel our heart area. Feel it soothingly, relax and silence everything. You can detect whatever vibration or your heartbeat. You just silence everything and stay there. Stay there. If you do this type of meditative training, normally as doctors, they need the stethoscope to magnify the heartbeat so that they can feel. But as you meditate and develop the ability to be mindful, to be aware, you don't need any stethoscope. You can just relax and silence your mind there. Then you can hear your heartbeat very clearly. The pounding or whatever. Then as you silence your mind more and more, it will slow down until it becomes very quiet, very still. Then just don't do anything, stay there. But if you are new, you still haven't trained your mind, then chances are you cannot feel anything. It's okay. If that is the case, then you just feel your physical chest area. Like you feel your forehead and other parts. You just feel it soothingly, relax. If there's any tension, any tightness or any stress within, you just relax it. Feel it soothingly, relax. Relax, relax and relax. Then you sweep this mind further down to your stomach. You have to feel it. Initially when you cannot, you just approximate the location. Just feel around there. Then relax. Feel, relax, feel, relax. Then you move it down further to your abdomen. Again, you feel, relax. Then you move it down to your leg, feel, relax. Then your buttock, feel, relax. By now, you should be more calm and more peaceful. We can reverse this mind sweeping method from your buttock up to your forehead, slowly. Silence everything, both body and mind, then just feel, don't think, feel. Feel your buttock, relax, feel, relax. If you just do that, you will not think. Most of the time you are just feeling and relaxing. That's why it will help you decondition your heedless thinking and you will not think. You become more quiet and more peaceful. And very fast your mind settles down. So now I will sweep through the whole thing again with you. Feel with the silent mind, your buttock, relax. Then move to your leg, feel, relax. Then move your attention up to your abdomen, feel, relax. Stomach, do the same, feel, relax. Then move it up to your heart or chest area, again, feel, relax. Then move it up to your shoulder, feel, relax. Hand, feel, relax. Back to shoulder, feel, relax. Then move to your neck, feel, relax. Then your facial muscle, feel, relax. Your eye muscle, do the same. Then your forehead, feel, relax them all. By now, your mind should be more quiet, more calm, and more peaceful. This is the meditative mind state that you need to stabilize. So I will teach you another skillful means to stabilize this quiet mind. We call it anapanasati. Anapana is your in and out breathing. Sati is mindfulness. So when you combine these two words, anapanasati, it means mindfulness of your in and out breath. Means you're developing awareness or attentiveness on your breathing. Then like the Buddha say, breathing in, your mind is aware. Breathing out, your mind is aware. So these are very simple exercises. So what you can do is, instead of feeling your forehead, now you feel your breathing in front of your nostril. Just silence your mind and just feel. Attentively stay there and feel. Because we have to breathe. So every time the breath comes in, you follow. The awareness follow. Breathing in, you are aware of the in-breath. Breathing out, you are aware of the in-breath. So this is anapanasati, developing the training of the mind to be mindful of the in and out breath. You can do it well. You will become very calm and very peaceful. Then initially you will experience a type of spiritual calmness, spiritual joy born of the meditative mind. The mind that is trained, the mind that is in mindfulness, awareness without thought. You will feel very calm and very peaceful. You will maybe experience what they call piti. Piti is a Pali word. It stands for spiritual calmness, spiritual joy. Sometimes they call it spiritual rupture. Your mind like rupture into joy, a type of very, very nice feeling. But initially, if you are new, it may not be easy. you will come to realize split second your mind wanders off. It's not with your breathing anymore. But don't worry, every time the mind wanders off, you just bring the attention back to the breathing. Just stay there. Yeah, be patient. Not long, this mind will not run. You will be able to maintain mindfulness and awareness. Then you will be able to experience piti, the spiritual calmness and spiritual joy. So for those who are new, you just train your mind this way. Yeah? Maintain mindfulness on the in and out breath. The mind, if it wanders off, you just bring it back and train. Yeah? Not long, it will become calm, peaceful, and mindfulness will be there. Then there is no more thought. There is just an awareness state, a very calm state. Then when that calm state arises, you just relax into it and allow the mind to be more and more subtle, more and more peaceful, more and more calm. Then later on, you will experience a more refined state of peacefulness that they call sukha or sukha. Sukha is spiritual blissfulness of mind. The mind becomes very blissful. You experience a type of bliss, very blissful feeling. Sometimes it's so blissful until like tingling sensation will arise. Your whole body like engulfed with this type of spiritual calmness, or what they call this spiritual blissfulness of mind. Then you continue to relax into it. Finally, training the mind to be very quiet, very peaceful. Initially, you may experience long breathing. Like every in-breath is like very long, with a lot of clarity. Then you feel very calm. The continuity of mindfulness on the in and out breath will develop the inner peacefulness, inner calmness. Sometimes it can lead to continuous mindfulness, which they call absorption of mind. You will go into a very calm state of absorption. When you are in this state of absorption, the mind can become very peaceful and very calm, and it can seclude itself and abide within. If you want to experience that initially, you can. But if you really want to develop the wisdom, you should experience it and then just relax into it and withdraw into normal awareness again, so that you are conscious, you are aware, you are not in absorption. But you can experience it, no problem, no harm. After that, when you are skillful, then you can release it out to normal upacara samadhi or excess concentration before you go into absorption concentration or what they call apana samadhi. So when you release it out, it will reach upacara samadhi or what they call excess concentration just before it goes into absorption concentration. Okay. I will let you train your mind. Then for those who already know how to meditate, if your spiritual faculty is very stable, you will enter the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, inner awareness and mindfulness with all the spiritual faculty very fast. The silent mind will be there straight away. Sati, samadhi will be there. But it is still not very stable. Then initially maybe you allow the thought to run for a while, let the thinking slow down by itself. Whatever arises, just let it be. Whatever you experience, you just relax into it. Maybe any mind state or physical sensation, or even restlessness of mind or whatever, just let it be. Then this mind will settle down and return to its original state of stillness, silence. And that is your true mind, your meditative mind. And that is the mind that can understand, develop the meditation. Okay, I will ring the bell in about 5 to 10 minutes so that you all can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation.
For those who still wants to meditate, you can continue. For those who have not, slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed through this meditative training. You need to make use of this mind state that is already trained to live your life. Then your life will change. Your life will become very different. If you can have this type of mind that is always peaceful, always calm, very little or no thinking, constantly aware, sensitive to life, sensitive to your inner thought movement, your emotion, everything, then you will become a beautiful being. You will understand many things. You will not have problem because the slightest movement, you feel it. So your mind, we call this mind the mundane mind or the worldly mind, the thinking mind. There are two aspects to our mind. One is the true mind, the silent mind that can be aware, that can understand many things. The other one is the thinking mind, the mundane mind, the worldly mind that think a lot, create a lot of problem, emotion for us because of our lack of understanding. But the moment you understand, this thinking mind become different. It understand, it can be trained. And when it's trained, it become very quiet, very still. Means instead of last time, it do what it like. Now, it's like you train your dog. You can instruct the dog, sit, it will sit. Then go, it will go. Then you can even ask the dog to stand on two legs and all this thing. So it's like after you have trained, it listen to you. So in a similar way, when we meditate to train this mind will listen to us. We want it to be silent, peaceful. You will just do that. You want it to be relaxed, at ease, and do whatever you want to do. It will just obey you. So it will become a very good servant to you. It will serve you well. So when you know how to use your body and your mind, they become your good servant. They will serve you well. So meditation is about understanding how to transform this heedless thinking mind that is full of wrong view, delusion, into a mind that has the clarity, the wisdom, the understanding, not to be deceived by what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. So this is what the Buddha called wisdom or understanding. When you understand, you are no longer foolish. You won't get yourself into trouble anymore. Then most important is to meditate to understand clearly what life is all about. All of nature's law that governs our life and existence. And when we understand this law, we like understand the secret of life, then we know how to live in accordance with this law. It's just like the scientific law is the same. You know about the theory, the understanding of it, then you can use that understanding to help you to develop new things. But if you don't have the understanding, it doesn't work. But when you have the understanding, you can put it into practice. It's like science and technology. When you have the automobile technology, understanding of it, or the medical field, or whatever field that science has allowed you to develop through research and development, R&D, then you can progress very fast. That's why we can come out with a lot of new version of automobile, even aeroplane, and scientific discovery. We will become very advanced. And this can help us improve our life, improve the way we do things, the way we
communicate, like information technology, now we handphone, the apps and all those things. Then even telecommunication has become so different. Then even our banking, e-commerce, everything, they are transforming day by day, hour by hour. So a lot of new things are developed through understanding the scientific law. So likewise in the spiritual field, when we meditate, when we understand the spiritual law that governs life and existence, we also progress very fast in the field of spiritual understanding like the scientists, but we become very good at the spiritual field. That's how we can understand how nature's law work. Then we can help people solve their problem. Then we no longer believe things. We don't have to believe all the tradition, the culture, the rite and ritual. Just like the Chinese tradition, we got a lot of belief system. We got feng shui, fortune telling. Then we got a lot of rites and ritual, pantang and all those things. But when you don't understand, you become fearful of them. When you understand, you know all this doesn't play much role in your life. The most important one is the law of karma. So your focus becomes different. You focus on law of karma. You take care of karma, that's it. Then karma take care of your life. Because the Buddha, through his meditative understanding, he discovered this very powerful spiritual law. He said this law of karma is so powerful. It's the moral causation. Under the scientific law, we got the law of cause and effect. To every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. Means whatever the cause, the effect will arise. But karma take a different scope. It's not only the physical law of cause and effect. It involves the mental, our mind, the mental intention behind everything you do. If you arise a mental intention, may it be wholesome or unwholesome, good or evil, virtuous or negative, it will have an impact on your karmic or karma. That's why the Buddha said this nature's law is very powerful. It depends on your moral input, means the moral aspect from your mind, your mental intention behind what you do, your action, your speech, and your thought process. If your view is wrong, you will input the wrong mental intention that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, and that will make you evil. That's how your karma will fall. Then you will become evil. You will violate all of the precepts, the commandments, everything, which is violating nature's law of karma. And because of that, you will suffer because you reap what you sow. Whatever you do unto people, come back to you. You cheat people, harm people, kill people, deceive people, cause a lot of physical and mental suffering to people. All this has its effect. It come back to you when the condition is there, or in future life when there is condition, you become the victim. People will cheat you, harm you, kill you, and cause a lot of mental and physical suffering to you, and you will feel the misery, the affliction, the sorrow, the lamentation, all those things. That's the reason why the Buddha, after a long period of meditative development, he came to this very, very deep understanding about this law of karma. He said, we are all, nobody is exempted. All living beings, including animals, fishes, the non-human, the gods, the devas, the non-human, the petarayim, or the hellrayim, they are all subject to this law. And the Buddha said, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, and we are conditioned and supported by our karma every moment, every instant. And we are what we are every moment, every instant, because of our karma. So our whole of life, existence, depend on karma, because we are born of it. We inherit everything. And every moment, every instant, this law of karma non-stop conditioning you. Yeah. And molding your life. Mowing your life. So you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. And you are what you are because of your karma. So if you don't take care of your karma, what will happen to your life? You will become miserable. You will be afflicted. So to improve your life, to change your life, is very simple. Understand this law. Then do what you should do. If you take care of karma, karma will take care of your life. If you are kind to people, good to people, generous, yeah, then you have a lot of understanding, a lot of gratitude towards people who have helped you, who have contributed towards your success. Your parents' love, their sacrifice for you, all the good things that humanity and nature has given you, you should learn to treasure them, appreciate them, cherish them, and have this understanding that all this come about because of your good karma. So like if you look at nature, the teaching tells us very simple thing. He said nature has great loving kindness. Like one of the teacher that taught me, he stayed in the forest for many years. He meditated in the forest for many, many years. Then he loved nature because he saw nature very, very compassionate. Nature has a lot of loving kindness. He keep on telling us. He said nature just give and give and give. And what does it give? It gives life, it gives love. But human beings take for granted, never appreciate what nature has given them. They instead pollute nature, destroy nature, do a lot of negative things towards nature. But man and nature is one, he said. If you destroy nature, you destroy yourself. When the environment is destroyed, humanity also will go down. It's the same. When consciousness becomes negative, the collective consciousness will be affected. Then there will be a lot of negativity of energy movement. That's how you have all the calamity, the nature's disaster, like earthquake, tsunami, off and on. You got a lot of funny weather condition. Then you have all this effect coming in. Then when he was with nature in the forest, he realized nature just gave whatever they have. They are great loving kindness. He said, the air we breathe come from nature. They don't even charge us, not like the government. They charge everything. The water that we get to drink to sustain our life is also from nature, given free. Then all the building material, the food that you eat, all come from nature. Nature just give and give and give. And nature never asks for anything in return. Nature never complain. Then even you look at the tree, they are so willing to endure the sunlight and give you the shade below. And in return, what does humanity do? We chop the tree because of greed to sell the timber. Then sometimes we just pollute underneath the tree. Then we do funny thing towards nature. Then nature just accord and flow. They never complain. But human beings complain a lot. Rain also complain. No rain also complain. So that's what life is all about. So if you don't understand all this, you become egoic, selfish. You only think of yourself. You never have gratitude towards anybody, any aspect of life. You never have true love, true understanding. So this is what the teaching is all about. When we have love, we will receive love. When we have anger, hatred, these are negative mind field, energy field. In return, we reap what we sow. People will do back to you with negative energy field. That's why you become the victim. So we have to take care of karma. That is the most important. The moment you take care of karma, your life will change. So all religion teach relatively similar thing, especially the first two part. They always ask you to keep your precept or commandment. This is to avoid doing evil thing, harming people, killing people, stealing from people, deceiving people, cause suffering to fellow living beings. If you do this, you avoid the effect, the fruition of this negative action, negative karma. Then he say you must have virtue. You must cultivate goodness, kindness, love, compassion, and all those things. You must have respect for elders, for your parents. You must cherish life and all the things that nature has given you. You must cherish your parent for giving you life, bringing you to this world, care for you, provide for you, sacrifice for you, educate you, and give you everything. So as a kid, we should have this gratitude towards them. We should have this understanding so that we can understand them better, love them unconditionally. Just like when they love you unconditionally, they can sacrifice for you. Yeah? Then why can't you, in return, sacrifice for your parents? Yeah? Then do your part, pay back to society, look after nature, take care of the environment, so that everything can live in perfect harmony, in wholesomeness. No more negativity, no more war, no more fighting and all those things. But these are things that are not easy to achieve. It can be achieved provided the numbers within humanity transform, change, and have this understanding. If there can be 2% with this understanding, the world will become beautiful. Yeah. You can have what they call utopia, huh? Utopia, the perfect world, or heaven on earth. Because all the consciousness will be beautiful. So this is what the teaching has to offer. When you understand, you take care of karma. Karma take care of your life. But the Buddha say karma alone is not enough. You may have the good life, you take care of karma. The wealth will come to you because you have generosity. And you have your good karma, you will inherit a lot of good things. Yeah. But there is one aspect of life that is beyond karma, beyond merit. Money cannot buy. The Buddha called it wisdom. He said, you not only have to avoid all evil to good, you have to train your mind, meditate, cultivate, to develop the wisdom, the understanding, to understand life so that you are not afflicted when you go through life. As we go through life, the Buddha said, we will encounter many realities in life. And these realities, he already explained the teaching. The first 8 realities define all of human activity, the mundane aspect of life. He said, every living being, if we live long enough, we will experience this thing. First of all, it's very basic, you see. The reality of birth, going through the stage of aging, getting old, decay, the process of getting old, aging, then getting sick, becoming miserable. Sickness, disease, and injury are something that is common to humanity. When condition is not right, you will have them. You will be confronted with all this. Especially nowadays, a lot of traumatic disease, illness. Then the fourth, most scary one, is death. Many people cannot understand. They fear death so much. They don't know what will happen after they die. Especially those who did a lot of evil things. Never take care of their karma. So they're so worried. They heard so much superstition. I think Lily is here. Then she somehow told me just now, text me, say she bought some, ordered some food, I think. So they are late a bit. They just, I think, waiting for the daughter to finish office. Then they are bringing it over. These are special ordered food, I think. I also don't know what food is it. So they already ordered them. Anyway, we rejoice. After they will come in. Lily and the daughter Elaine. Some of you may know them. Then the other reality are when you are with people whom you don't like, the Buddha said, when you encounter situation with, that lead to separation from loved ones, choice, possession, the thing that you hold on to dearly, when there is separation, could be divorce, relationship failure due to the death process. And that process can happen in many ways. Then there is also the seventh one. When you cannot get what you want in life, when things don't go your way, when your expectations in life are not met, your mind becomes unhappy, upset, very disturbed. You become restless, unhappy, moody. Then finally he said, the most difficult one, which you have to meditate to understand is, he said, in short, we living beings or human beings, we deludedly believe that this human form, our body and our mind, really belong to us. He said, if you deludedly believe this, when you attach to this human body and this human consciousness, you will develop suffering. So the final summary is very simple. Because of your self-delusion, your ignorance. Yeah, Lily, you can join us. Is Elaine coming?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, Sado. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, never mind. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Correct, correct. Yeah. Thanks for your good advice. So now I think you need them to reverse. They can reverse for you because here very difficult to get kappa. But our academic all seems to be very understanding and very patient. Yeah, some of them I was told they park until very far. I understand really. Yeah, because it's quite normal. Not only you bring food, everybody bring food. So normally they drop, then they go. But there are people who have the understanding, so they are quite patient. They don't mind looking for kappa. So next time you want to be... Elaine, come. Join us. We can rejoice with the offering, their offering. Let us rejoin. Sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu. I heard they specially cater for you all. You all are very lucky. You can have the catered good food. Sadhu to them. Just now I was at the final reality, the eighth one. The Buddha said, in short, is due to your self-delusion, your ignorance, that condition you to believe that this human body and mind is really what you are. So when you deludedly grasp, cling and hold on to this body and mind, thinking that it's you, then you suffer, the Buddha said. It is due to your self-delusion that condition you to grasp and cling on to this physical body and mind. And he break this physical body and mind into the five aggregates. For those who are new, I will explain later. But maybe not today, I don't have much time. I will explain later. Basically, it's very easy to understand. He said, as a human being, we have a human body, physical body. Then we have a consciousness trapped inside. So this is the first aspect of the human body and mind. And the mind, he said, can be broken down into four more aspects. Or he called it the four aggregates of mind. So first aggregate is physical body. That one easy to understand. The form aggregate of the physical body. Then the other four aggregates of mind, you have to inquire, what can your mind do? This is meditation. When you meditate, you find out, what can your mind do? So as we all know, What can your mind do? I better write on the whiteboard. Oh, I forgot. Today, Hui Rong, you are excused from continuing. So good news for you. You can continue your sharing the next Tuesday. Today, I take over because of our two new guests. So I have to explain certain Dhamma that is very important to them because they are quite new to this field. So I will write on the whiteboard, we go through so that they understand. And for those who are here already, you can also take this as a revision. Oh, you are too cold. I tell you what, why not you sit on my dead chair then? Sit on the red chair. Yeah, don't worry because it will be suitable for you, for your age. Go. Don't worry. Yeah, so that you don't have to cross your leg. Yeah, you can sit on that chair. Okay. Now we go through. What can your mind do? Very simply. What can your mind do? First one is what? Your mind can? What can your mind do? You have been using your mind for so long. You can perceive things, isn't it? So, the mind can. The mind can perceive things. So perception is one of the mind can perceive. Perception is one of the aggregates of mind. So this aggregate is perception. Then, what else can your mind do? Every day, your mind can. It can, of course, thinking. The mind can think. Mind can think. And become emotional. Emotional. So this one is called the activity of mind state or mental state. They call it sankhara. Sankhara means everything that your mind can do, including perception. Then another very important one, your mind can feel, hot or cold, the weather condition, or then whether you are happy or not happy. So the mind can feel. So this is the feeling aggregate. The mind can feel. So this is the feeling aggregate. Then one last one. What is it? Very important one. Every day you have to use it. How do you know the world? How do you interact with the world? You need consciousness there. You need to be conscious of what you see there. What you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think there. So consciousness is a very important aspect of life. The mind can be conscious. That's why in the scientific field, they always talk about the conscious mind. What is the conscious mind? The doctor will know. When you are unconscious, means no consciousness. You don't have any consciousness to know things. Especially they put you on anesthesia. Completely, you like that period of time, you don't know what happened. There is no memory at all because no consciousness at all. So this aspect of mind is very important. It can arise consciousness.
Because we got 5 physical organ. The organ of the eye can allow us to be conscious of what we see. That's why the field of vision, color, shape, and form, they come from this consciousness. Then we have the ear. We can be conscious of what we hear. All of the vibration, the music, the sound, noise, whatever. So this is consciousness. Then we can be conscious of what we smell, what we taste, and what we tactilely feel. And we can be conscious of what our thought process is all about. So this is what the mind is all about. So the Buddha said, you add up these 4. These are the aggregates of mind. 2, 3, 4, 5. The first one is the physical body. Or the aggregate of form. The physical form. Aggregates. Oh, sorry. No eye. So this physical form, or physical body, or physical form, is the first aggregate. Then after that, you got 4 more of the mind. So 1 plus 4 equals 5 aggregates of form and mind. So this is what the human being is all about. So this one is equal to the human being. Or you can draw the physical body and the consciousness trapped inside. So this is the consciousness part. And this is the whole thing is a human being. This one is the human form, physical body. So these 2 you add together, it will become the 5 aggregate of form and mind or the human being. So this is the first aspect. This one is very basic, very easy to understand. But the second aspect is more difficult. The second aspect is at the consciousness level, at the mind level. The Buddha said at the mind level, we know we have these 4 aggregates. The mind can feel, can perceive, can arise thinking, can become emotional. All the mind state, mental states, mental formation, your mental intention, your planning, scheming, cunningness, your peacefulness of mind, your sorrow, your lamentation, your fear, all these are under sankhara, mental activity, everything that your mind can do, including ability to feel and perceive. So this whole thing, 2, 3, 4, become the content of consciousness. And this one is like a receptacle, the 4th aggregate of mind is consciousness itself. So as a human being, before we create a thought, we have space. So space is just a very, very spacious entity within nature. So within this space, we can experience space through an awareness of it. But there is no word, no concept. It's just aware. So spacious awareness is what our true mind is. But because you have been born into a conditioned world that teaches you how to use thought, use words and concept, and use the thinking mind or the mundane mind, so you lost track of your true mind, your original mind, your great potential as a living being. So that mind, which is spacious awareness, like a baby,
you can recall the baby when they are born, no memory, nothing in it. That's why they don't have words. They don't have concept. They are very naive, very cute, and very, very innocent. That's why they are very beautiful. They can see things as they are without the word. They perceive the reality as it is. They're just aware. There is no word. That's why you see them looking at things curiously without words. Yeah. An enlightened being is like a baby, but with all the conditioning and the brain activity inside there. But because of their enlightenment, their understanding, their wisdom, they can still see things like a baby. Yeah. And they can see how the mind come in and create all those content of consciousness, cause the mind to stir and make living being react to what they see, what they hear, what they smell, what they tactile feel and think. So all this is meditation. When you are silent, mindful, aware, you can see all this. So how do you create thought? Through the spacious awareness, you focus. Like now you focus on my voice. See? From the spacious awareness, you zoom in to my voice. Or an easier example is, if you look at the image of the Buddha or Kuan Yin, the moment you perceive it, you focus there. Your whole vision narrow from a spacious awareness to just that object that you focus on. That's why through perception, you shrink your consciousness. Then you input your content through memory. Memory. You know what is memory there? Everything that you store. So when your memory already conditioned, say this is the Buddha or this is Kuan Yin, that's why straight away the mind will input that memory. That's how you perceive through memory. Then after that, you have your views and opinion. You want to comment about this Kuan Yin or this Buddha. How come the image is so ugly? And if something you like, oh, this Kuan Yin is beautiful. Or this Buddha Rupang is very beautiful. Where did you buy it? And all. So your sankhara activity, your content of consciousness starts to go in. Then you got your like and dislike, your pleasant and unpleasant reaction to what you see or to what you hear. So all this is how you function as a human being. That's how your mind operates. So from a spacious awareness, you create a thought and you shrink your consciousness into a small, limited area. That's why Krishnamurti say, your thought is limited, narrow, and finite. Whereas your nature, your potential is spacious awareness, oneness. That true mind is very beautiful. And that one, you can develop understanding of it. You can develop a lot of wisdom. And you can become enlightened. So the Buddha said the second aspect of the five aggregate of mind is the mental five aggregate. He said every moment of consciousness, either seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, or thought process. He said the moment you perceive, you bring the external form, like this image of the Buddha, which is the external form, you bring it into the mind. So these four aggregates of feeling, perception, sankhara, and consciousness, together with the mental form, becomes the five aggregates of form and mind. This second aspect is very important. But this is what your thought is all about. This is how you function as a human being. So when you develop the training of the mind to be ever mindful, to have this stability of mindfulness, you can see all this. You can see how perception takes the external form in. And then from there, how you retrieve from memory, your conditioning, everything. And you react and you stir. And this becomes your habitual tendency every day you do. But for the enlightened being, they don't do it this way. They act according to understanding. They have this wisdom inside there, the law of karma, everything. They will not allow their conditioning to interfere. They see things as they are. Then they act with wisdom, understanding. They don't discriminate. They will have an open mind to observe, to examine, to investigate. There's clarity. And they know these are all not real. That's why the teaching is very beautiful when you understand. But when you don't understand, it's like very abstract, very difficult to comprehend. But don't worry. Anybody can understand, because it's very scientific. It's all based on nature's law. You can observe it. You can investigate into it. You can examine it. And you can prove it. It stands up to investigation, like the scientists. If it's the correct theory, it will stand up to investigation. That's why it's very beautiful. So these two aspects of the five aggregates of form and mind, at least I have the condition to explain to you. Later on, when you go, for those who are going to the retreat, you read the Heart Sutta. The first chapter is already there. Then you will understand it more deeply, more clearly. So our retreat is in about 2 months' time. So we are in fact very fortunate. Our meditation, 9-day annual meditation retreat at Cameron Highland is about, I think, 2 months plus time. So we would like to thank Sutta Padmasuri for helping us to print the program. They are ready. And you, if you want to collect early after the class, you can come forward and take a copy so that you remember to bring this when you are at the retreat and you have more time to read through to develop the understanding. Then you have to bring along 3 books. The chanting book, the Heart Sutta book, then the other one is Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way, that blue book. So these 3 books, this year's retreat will be very different. I will teach you all the real meditation, how to train your mind to really, really progress along the path of Dhamma. And the teaching will be very different this time, because most people are ready. The conditions are there. And a lot of things has happened. Like recently, I think you should thank Jin Hao and the 3 person who volunteer. I didn't even talk to them. They themselves come up with the idea. They say they want to get people to help out, to write out the short notes or the synopsis for every talk that I delivered. So they got 3 volunteers. One of them is Yun Chan. Yun Chan is what class? Tuesday class. Yun Chan, you Tuesday class, salute to you. Don't worry. Then Puan Chi is Thursday class. Then Sister Man Yuan is Sunday class. This is very good, very wholesome. And I didn't know they can come up with so good what they call synopsis and short note. But of course I have to edit them. But I was quite amazed when I received Man Yuan. Surprisingly, that Sunday talk, she was listening attentively. I think she must have gone back and re-listened. And she was able to use her own words to describe what I tried to share that day. Then I edited the whole thing. It came out so beautiful. Well, these are important short note pointer that remind me of what I said or what I spoke or what I shared. Then when there is condition, like the Heart Sutta book, you ask me to write, I cannot write. But because Miss Lee last time also write short note to me, then like I used to share with you all, the first few lessons, it took up a lot of my time. We are all haywire, all not correct. Then I got to slowly edit the whole thing. But later, after I edit, she start to develop the understanding. Then later on, it's much easier. So for you all, I think by now, after so many years, you all should have the understanding. And most of the words, I think, you can understand now. But if you are not sure, you can write to me. Like Sister Hong, she volunteered to transcribe all the 6-page platform sutra. Now we are at lesson 65. She has translated about up to lesson 12 already, the transcript. But I have only finished lesson 4 already. Then, of course, lesson 9 also I just finished. Then now going to 11. But all these are coming out beautifully. Yeah, beautifully. Then even Panchi one also on the Thursday class. That one was very good. That one is about life. That one come about because there were a couple from Canada. They came over. I think Yun Chan's friend. You know them very long already, Yun Chan. Emily and Lim, the husband. So it seems they came over from Canada. I didn't even know. Then Yun Chan brought them over. They at first want to collect some more books. Then I think they requested to meet up with me. So my wife called me. Then I came back. That day was Thursday. We got a class. So I can only spend about less than 1 hour with them. I think I came back 5:40 or 5:45. We talked until the last minute, 6:30, when Elsie came. Then we had to leave. But they were beautiful couples. They have been studying and learning the Buddha Dhamma for the past 20 plus years. So it seems after they read my transcript, they realize they have not really learned the true Dhamma. After going around for so many years. Then later on, the husband was together with her. Then she asked me a lot of questions. Yes, she got a lot of questions. Then as I explained, I think the husband become very interested and understand. Then he keep on reminding the wife, he say, please don't ask questions. Let Brother Teo explain further. Because there are just too many of these important truths that people need to understand. So at first the husband's faith was not strong because there is a lot of Chinese tradition involved with the teaching and all those things. And what was being taught to them was totally different. Then after I explained, the husband, he was so full of joy. He looked at me and he said, Brother Teo, you give me a lot of faith now. I said, last time, he still cannot understand all this. He didn't know that all this come about through nature's law. And it can be so clearly explained in such clear manner. That's why because of that, my nature realized not only that couple, in fact, a lot of so-called Buddhists, they also have the same problem. So that Thursday class, in order to explain all this in very clear manner, I use that couple's condition to share. Then I introduced two very important topics. I said, why do people seek religion? And why do Buddhists seek the Buddha Dhamma? This is always a question. Most people will say, if you don't have problem, you are not interested in religion. True or not? You don't have problem, you are not interested. Especially the rich people, very comfortable. But as they grow old, they realize there's a lot of problem that money cannot solve. So at first they will try to seek doctors, maybe other type of professional. Then later on, when they find that they can't find any more avenue of understanding, then they seek religion. Hopefully religion can help them. But apart from solving problems like that day we discussed, different people come to religion because of different reasons. So that short note which Puanqi did, we sent out today. If you are on the WhatsApp list, you will read them. It's very nice, very beautiful, very meaningful. So like that night when we discussed, one of the, also one newcomer, I think he is 29 years old, and he got some slight problem, I think. Then Sui An introduced him, then that night he came, then we had this discussion, then I asked him, I said, why do you come for meditation class, Dhamma class? You know what was his answer or not? I want to be happy. Oh. Then another one say, I want to be peaceful. Quite normal, isn't it? Then we ask around. Then they say, I want to understand life. Then there's another one. I want to solve my problems. So, problem, it seems, is unending. All of humanity, at one time or another, you have your own problem. Even the Mandarin got a saying, every family has their own problem, or situation, suffering. 家家有本难, correct? Because I'm from English school, I'm not from Chinese school, so I only learn a few Mandarin words. Every family has their own difficulties or problem. So, when you look at all those lists that were listed, then I said, other religion, I may not vouch for it, but for Buddhism, I said, if you really understand the Buddhist teaching, it can help you fulfill all the things that you want. It can even bring about enlightenment. The last reason was my wife. He said, to realize enlightenment so that we can be free from all suffering, mental and physical suffering. So that is what this teaching can bring about. It can help you